This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You stop with the f***ing booing.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2. You're listening, you're watching, you're perhaps online. We appreciate you being with us on this fine, fine Friday.
If you could put a number to the amount of people to that have danced to this song that have had a mustache, I think you're creeping into zillions or billions.
Yeah. Oh, man. Noodles, no mustache, but you are, I learned this, you're a heck of a dancer, and you don't mind.
I can move, and I can't move.
But you do it anyway. You dance like no one's watching.
I do dance like nobody's watching, even though in the TSN back hall.
And you thought you were doing that yesterday because the back hall, which
is... I do it all the time.
I don't even know what that means, but it's a TV that's up, and when they're not on TV, it's still filming what they're doing, and you got caught boogieing to Justin Bieber yesterday.
Believe me, I do it all the time because in the truck, so I'm wired to the truck with the headset on. We are waiting for the That's Hockey crew to get sorted out, for Gino to get sorted out. So what they do is they run some music for me. It's like request hour. So I'll say, give me a little Chilliwack, My Girl, or I'll go all over April Wine. Give me something.
And going up to Jamie and Thornhill.
This came up. So I started singing along to this tune and playing a little air guitar. And I got clipped on the back hall.
Give us a taste.
They better.
I don't.
Go and Love Yourself or whatever it's called by Justin Bieber.
They better play some of it on SportsCenter.
This is
outstanding.
This guy.
How many SportsCenters are there? 15?
Like, yeah, pretty much 15.
One of them better play this.
Well, they made up like a mock video for me because I do it all the time. So they on Tuesday night they had Tone Loke playing. So I was playing the
Funky Cole Medina.
Funky Cole Medina. I was actually working the scratch board on it. So they have a little bit of that. They've got me playing the drums to 80s music. So they've got a whole medley of me acting up on camera.
I got to get to Ottawa to see some of these games on TSN 5 when you're doing those Senators
games. You could sit with the panel here.
Amazing.
And they watch the back call.
We got future headlines coming up. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2. I am Derek Taylor filling in for Brian Hayes alongside the O-Dog and Noodles. We've had a lot of goose gossip the last couple of days. I know, O-Dog, you got to go. We got more knowledge being dropped by Goose Gossage. He is just angry at everything.
He's just spitting fire.
Spitting nails.
Yeah, let's go to the next Goose Gossage if we could.
And now a message from Goose Gossage.
Central air conditioning today's a f***ing disgrace. In my day, you plugged in a fan and blew hot air over your skin, but faster. And sometimes you lost a finger in the blades, but we weren't p***s about it.
This has been a message from Goose Gossage.
So Goose is anti-central air conditioning. That seems like something you would not take a strong stance on, but he does.
He just hates anything that just makes people comfortable and cushy.
He wants grit.
Old school fanage.
Constantly.
I just can't get over how angry he is. His delivery is absolutely outstanding.
Agitated. He's Lieutenant Dan.
He is absolutely Lieutenant Dan. Should we do it? I'm very excited for this.
Okay.
On my final day here.
You know how this works, right? Future headlines?
No, it's every Friday. It's what we do. You send them to us. We rock and roll. Somebody's going to get upwards of 50 pizzas. We haven't quite nailed down a number.
Six pizzas.
But it is future headlines.
Fix a Bernier!
Or shifts were too long, got caught out tired, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net.
Or
the 1-1, Bautista drives it!
Or
in my eyes, I've given this organization a 5-year hometown discount already.
Overdrive, future headlines.
All right, number one. Phaneuf scores game winner on Saturday night versus Leafs. Or Nylander and Sosh rip apart Sens in a 5-1 Leafs win.
Hmm. I'll go first. I don't believe he's going to score the game winner, but I don't believe that Nylander and Sosh are going to rip them apart. So I got to find somewhere in the middle.
See, this guy, he doesn't understand. Still doesn't understand. You can only pick one. He picked Sosh and whoever the other guy was.
Well, I'm going to
Nylander and Sosh. He picked.
I'll pick them because I don't think Dion's going to score the game winner.
I go the other way.
I don't believe it's going to be a 5-1 drubbing either.
FNUF scores game winner because the rest of it just seems so improbable. 5-1 drubbing and they run roughshod.
No.
FNUF scores game winner.
There you go.
You know what? I'm going to pick FNUF scores game winner. That was typically for Jamie, but it's just if you watch the Sens play, their whole decor has been real bad lately. They're all going to need to step up. Number two, the Goose sobers up and backs up his comments, or backs up on his comments, or the Goose continues to slam Bautista and the Jays.
This one is easy.
This is a slam dunk.
The Goose believes what he believes. He hates air conditioning. He hates modern medicine. Yeah. He hates what Jose Bautista is disgracing Latin players. He hates nicknames.
Yeah.
Who can remember the two Goose, nicknames?
The Goose is all about backing up his comments.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm on board with that. 100%.
He'll hate nerds on Monday as well.
Yeah, he'll be all over it.
All right, this one, I believe, is from one of our listeners. Following three-point weekend, Nylander sees his bar play near Dougie G status, or Nylander finishes -2 and is carded at Croc Rock.
Oh, that is outstanding.
I'd like to see him Dougie G status, but he's not there yet. Dougie G is a legend in this.
He would need Sittler night.
He needs a 6-assist pea soup type of night like Dougie talked about with us a couple weeks ago. I think he's young. He's going to get carded at Croc Rock.
I say he gets carded at Croc Rock, and Lou tells him to get a haircut.
Are Nylander's natural skills better than Gilmore's from back in the day?
Are you kidding me? You can't even talk like that on this show. Dougie G is the legend.
Right, but Nylander's a good-looking kid. He should be in the
bar play?
No, bar play. Yeah. What are we talking about?
I think he...
His raw talent, his raw skills.
Well. His raw skills, bar play? I don't know. I think he'd be right there just because he's a handsome.
Dude, his bar play is just about playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs in his looks. He will smash Rolodex records in this city.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you guys.
You're going with that one?
I don't know what you said, but I'm with you guys.
Croc Rock.
Thank you. Crocodile Rock.
Hayes returns on Monday spitting a bunch of hot takes, or he's full-on baby gorilla face by 5:45 p.m.
He's going to be a gorilla face by 5:45.
Have you ever in your life met a guy that goes on vacation and is miserable when he comes back?
Well, he comes back and he needs time
Derek,
to
most
assimilate.
People, they're like, hey, good. This guy is just, he can't talk.
He goes out on He goes out on a Saturday night. It's maybe Tuesday, and he's back to functioning again.
Struggling.
He is struggling.
Struggling.
Like, so he's gone for a week, and he's had a good time, I'm sure, with the wife and the baby, but the baby's probably been up, and he's got a sunburn, and I guarantee you he's going to be back.
I'm going to go baby crabby. Gorilla face, not by 5:45, by 4:15.
Oh, yeah, he'll be agitated.
I think
from that information, which one are you picking?
I go with struggling.
Yeah. Struggling.
I think the name of the show becomes Overdrive that day. Just add an extra syllable. Struggling. Baby gorilla.
All right, we got one more here. Leafs go 2-for-2 this weekend, or lose both and take big lead in Austin Matthews sweepstakes.
Lose both and take big lead in sweepstakes. That's way more likely. It's Ottawa Saturday, but it's in Ottawa. Pride, blah, blah. They lose both, more likely to me.
Well, I think they're getting one. I don't know if they're getting points out of Detroit on a back-to-back situation. That's the problem. And Ottawa's going to be a little bit pissed off.
I think they're going 0-2. Yeah.
They're going 0-2 this weekend. So I'm going with the Austin Matthews situation, which is an unfortunate set of circumstances.
Unfortunate set of circumstances. It's no one's fault.
It's just the way it is, Lou.
There's so many things I'm learning on this show with you guys.
So many stupid things.
Baby gorilla face. Amazing.
We've seen it a few times, but it's usually the character in the middle.
Yeah.
He's had enough. When he's had enough, he's had enough.
Like, honestly, when I have enough, I think we should all agree that I should just leave.
Yeah, just walk out. Get up and walk out.
Just
of the
pack
building.
My bags like it's a normal thing, and I have a green light to leave because I am not interested. and it's timeout.
it's
once Goose started going off about hockey yesterday, you would have been and then out.
Yeah.
You'd have picked it up and moved it on.
Do we have one more Goose or no?
We do, in fact, have one more. Of course, Goose Gossage thought that Jose Bautista was a bleeping disgrace. He thinks many things are a bleeping disgrace.
First, we have to get to the winner, and I'm picking this one. Following the three-point weekend, Nylander sees his bar play near Dougie G status.
Yes.
Or Nylander finishes minus two and is carded at Croc Rock.
Yeah.
From Hunter, my man Hunter.
So six pizzas for Hunter.
So he gets three pizzas from 2-for-1, which equals six last time I checked.
Exactly. Six pizzas.
I thought
for
the
Hunter.
Whole idea behind 2-for-1.
And Steph's in our ear. Go, that's a good three.
Hey,
three.
Three quality pizzas is very,
I'm
very much
six.
Worth it.
Because if you're. If you're
well,
if,
you guys dig into your big salaries.
It's
then.
A word on
more.
Play. It's a play on words because they're saying three pizzas at 2-for-1. Well, 2-for-1 means well, 3 times 2. Is 6.
Fergie, be the voice of reason here. Yeah, what do you think? Do you get
in.
3 or 6?
I flunked math. I flunked 3 different math courses in grade 13. You can't ask me that.
You're struggling. You be.
Did,
right,
did you flunk 3 or 6? Because apparently 3 is 6. There we go.
You be Oldham. You be the arbitrator. That's you decide.
Anyway, Hunter,
if
you won,
three
you
or
won
six.
For the best.
He'll get back to us in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
I think it's what you said, Jamie.
Yeah, let us know in 6 weeks or in 2 weeks if it's 6 or it's 3.
So every Friday, tweet in your future headlines so I don't have to think about them, which I actually truly love. Well, my assistant,
your
Brianna,
assistant.
Would do them. But we don't have to do them in the future, so tweet them in on Friday. So Hunter's the winner this Friday.
Congratulations to Hunter. Thanks to everybody who tweets us at Overdrive1050, at TSN 1050 Radio. We love having you as a part of the show. And the bar play at Crocodile Rock. Hit me again with that. You guys were saying something? Oh, yes, we do have some time. You have to go. You got to take care of some stuff for
Can I get
Sports
the one
Center,
more Goose?
And that's hockey, and that's what we're setting up. There is one more. Goose Gossage dropped 4 knowledge bombs on us today. So he has one more that we're still waiting. It's Goose Gossage exclusively on Overdrive on TSN 1050.
And now a message from Goose Gossage.
The way players hang out together today is a f***ing disgrace. In my day, we got in 25 separate cabs and f***ed off in all directions. Now they hang out in the training room drinking protein shakes and eating electrolytes. If it ain't from an animal, it's bullshit.
This has been a message from Goose Gossage.
If it ain't from an animal,
it's nonsense.
Oh, Goose.
I love
Goose,
it.
He's a veteran.
This guy's
we
a
love
beauty.
He is
I think
a beauty.
Electromite.
Whether you're... Whatever, which you, if you like him or not, I think he's the type of guy you wouldn't mind to have a beer with. He'd tell some stories.
Yeah.
Oh, he would. He must just kill stories. It'd be
amazing.
He's
got no filter. Like, he doesn't care. Most
no,
people. And there's a lot of people we talked about, alumni. They have a lot of thoughts and a lot of controversial ones. The difference is they don't come out and say it.
Yeah, they don't. They just don't say it in front of a camera and then go on radio shows to back it up and say, yeah, I that's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll say something and shoot from the hip, and then it's, you know what, I want to soften it. You want to manage it a little bit. He's guns blazing. He doesn't care.
I don't want to beat Goose Gossage to death, but can we go back to guys to the nicknames one? Because someone suggested it contains the most epic line that we've had on Overdrive this week. Goose on nicknames?
And now a message from Goose Gossage.
Nicknames today are a f***ing disgrace. Joey Bats, who the hell can remember 2 names? Stick with Puck or Sparky or Catfish or Rhino. That Ryan Sandberg, he'd phantom tag you right in the nuts if you didn't slide right at second. That's baseball, not this pussy s*** they play today.
This has been a message from Goose Gossage.
The phantom tag is classic. Like,
the phantom tag will live with me forever.
That was an outstanding.
That is the greatest line.
We love you, Goose.
Thank you, Goose. You might become a permanent member of our show.
And I think he would be honored. Or he thinks radio today is bullcrap.
Yeah, he hates radio, too.
Exactly. But he joined us on the show. O-Dog, before you go, if you were Dennis Weidman and you got a 19-game suspension that was supposed to be 10, that was supposed to be 20, you would be happy you're back tonight. You would be irate that it took this long.
I would be irate, but at the end of the day, I'd be getting a lot of cake back, and that would probably numb the pain a little bit because ultimately they're not getting into the playoffs. And to be quite honest, him being out of the lineup, I don't think would have been an X factor that would have got them into the playoffs. There was a lot of damage done. So it's like, you know what, you get your money back, and it's, you know, if he finishes years down the road, if he finishes with 990 and he could have got 1,000 games, I'm sure that'll
that'll come back.
That'll open up a wound. But other than that, it's just one of those things where the league probably wanted him to get 20 and they were going to do any. I don't even know how that would work. It seems so unbelievable that they would get to the 20 game marker very close to, and then it's like, oh, now we have decided to change it to 10.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you've got to put in some kind of policy or change the rules or something where it's going to be figured out at that 10 game mark.
And a lot of people outside of the sport will say, well, these guys make so much money, big hairy deal. If you got dinged 1/8 of your annual salary, even it's going to be 1/8 of his salary, right? That is a significant sum of money.
So, he makes a good clip too. He's at 5.25, I believe. So
to get to, I mean, to get that money back is
anybody
a nice
that
touch
says they make a lot of money, they shouldn't care. It's just an ignorant comment. It's stupid.
Yeah,
it's true.
I apologize for being good at my job and making Evander Kane money. Yeah. But yeah, it's yeah. Dirk Hayhurst is going to join us next on the show. O-Dog's going to slide out and take care of one of his 15 other jobs, including what are you judging the cafeteria lady? You're telling her go up there and set her straight. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good. They got their best fries there. They do have good fries there.
I still, a year and a half, I still have not been there, and it's just people.
Are you scared of it? Well, it's like 20 feet away from us.
Exactly. Comments like that from the O-Dog. Jeff O'Neill taking off. Catch him. Is it That's Hockey tonight you're going to be on?
That's right. With Gino Reddy at 7.
Gino's House of Pain. That's across the TSN probably. Network at 7 o'clock. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN.ca. Dirk Hayhurst joins us next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2. Derek Taylor in for Brian Hayes alongside Noodles, and there's some news from the NFL. Mark Sanchez traded to the Denver Broncos as they look for a quarterback. Thought they were interested in Colin Kaepernick. We'll see if that comes to be a thing. And Johnny Manziel, as we talked about bar play in our last segment, the king of all bar play, officially, finally, mercifully cut by the Cleveland Browns. He didn't need any more of the Browns. The Browns did not need any more of him.
Well, I think he needed more of the Browns. You need to actually play and be effective to have good bar play, no?
True. They're just, as a franchise, that is not where a troubled guy should go.
But
a troubled guy should go to the Patriots. They will get you straight, and you'll have all your play in Boston.
But is Manziel even worth...
He was worth a first-round pick to the, and he was worth them getting rid of a previous first-round pick to get him. But
you got to back it up
now.
And he's done nothing.
Yeah, and what's he worth now versus the trouble and the TMZ attention he's going to bring? Speaking of TMZ attention, it's a TMZ favorite, Dirk Hayhurst, joining us on the line. Dirk, how are you?
I am living the dream, gentlemen. How are you?
All good.
Yeah, we're doing very well. Dirk, TSN 1050 analyst and former MLB pitcher. The Baseball Insider brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. So, Dirk, of course, yesterday we talked a ton about Goose Gossage. We had the former Yankees pitcher, the Hall of Famer, on our air. He's dropping knowledge bombs on us today. He is just everywhere. He is 64 and he is proud of every bit of it.
Yeah. Well, he better be. I mean, look, okay. He said that Jose Bautista embarrassed all Latin players by the bat flip pimp job that he did last year in the playoffs. So, does Goose then embarrass all white players by having an angry, swear word-filled tirade in national media? I'm like, if you're going to talk about how screwed up the game is and how it's changed, and you're going to make an absolute ass out of yourself and scorch earth policy the entire event, aren't you a little bit embarrassing too? Isn't there some angry, bitter old white player out there who's like, okay, Goose, I feel you, but you're going a little bit too far right now. You're giving us all a bad rap. Like, I understand. I just wish that I was good enough at baseball that I could get old and accuse it of being a sham ran by nerds and sissies and arrogant little playboys, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a bitter old man yelling at a game for changing. Yep. And the game has changed, and all games change. In every sport, they change. They will never stay the same. And as you get older and you look back at your career, there will be things that weren't there when you were there. And that's not the end of the world. It's not Armageddon. It's just business as usual. I'm all for some bat flipping, because this is sports entertainment. If this was sports, the religion, you might have an argument, okay? But it's entertainment. That was one of the biggest things that happened to Toronto in the last 20 years was that Jose Bautista bat flip. Yeah. And if he wants to go out there and bat flip the entire world, and he wants to pull that kind of money into Toronto to watch that team, he's doing his job. He's putting a lot of eyes on that field, a lot of eyes on that team, and you know what? He's a good player. So I am of the opinion that Goose Gossage needs to get the hell over it.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what's interesting, you know, Dirk, is you talk about the emotion of the game, and you know, you played, I played another sport, but it's still a situation where you get caught up in it. And I didn't look at it from Jose Bautista's situation as being disrespectful. I looked at it as this is a guy who was pumped up that he just hammered one, you know, into the stands. And you know, you don't frown on emotion in today's game, do you?
No. Okay. See, this is a big thing. Like, outsiders looking in, when they see emotion, they think disrespect. I don't understand that. I have never understood that. You're talking about a sport that you have trained to be successful in since you were a child. And even though you and I played different sports, you and I know what it's like to, from a very young age, dream of being on a big stage and succeeding in such a fashion that all eyes are on you. It's not, I mean, lesser people out there in the world will say, I just want to contribute. I don't want anyone to know it was me. I don't want to be on that big stage. But if you want to be a professional athlete, you have got to know from day one that you don't run from pressure. You embrace it, because that is where champions are made. That's where legends are born. And Jose Bautista had that moment. You know, for better or worse, people are going to talk about him in the Toronto Blue Jays lore until the end of time now because of that. And there are only so many moments in which you get a chance to do that. I mean, think about it. Broadcasters got to call that shot, and they will be immortalized because they were loosely associated with the moment, right? And that is the kind of event that you want. And you want to have a chance to show emotion, show the world who you are. There are not many chances most mortals will ever get to do that. And Jose Bautista got one of them, and you're going to be the bitter old guy that says he's ruining the game by living his dream. What the hell is wrong with that kid? Come on.
To be fair, Goose is, I mean, and to put it in perspective, Goose is angry about a lot of things. We've had him on the show several times today, Dirk, and we're going to pull back one of them for you. Goose is just angry about a lot of things in modern life.
And now a message from Goose Gossage.
Central air conditioning today's a f***ing disgrace. In my day, you plugged in a fan and blew hot air over your skin, but faster. And sometimes you lost a finger in the blades, but we weren't about it.
This has been a message from Goose Gossage.
He hates nicknames. He hates that guys hang out and eat electromites, in his words. Just angry about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, those nerds playing rotisserie baseball from Harvard did come up with the air conditioner, and the world has just been ruined ever since.
And so. I'm a guy who loves numbers, and I don't understand why people get so up themselves about numbers, as if numbers, no one thinks numbers are the end all be all of sports and how you judge talent. And no one completely ignores numbers, because Goose will tell you that a guy who hits 50 homers is better than a guy who hits 30 homers. That's using numbers. It's very basic, but that's still numbers. So get the hell over numbers.
Look, I hate math. It's my least favorite subject, believe me. But when you're talking about sinking money by the millions, I mean, when you're paying some athletes the sum of the gross revenue generated by a small country in the world, you know, you need as much business analytics as you can get. And this is the kind of stuff that if Goose didn't grow up throwing really hard and only ever did baseball and did it well, This would be in every work choice that he would get for the rest of his life. How well are you performing? How do we track your performance? And how do we pay you for that performance?
I know
Thank
it when
God
I see it.
Baseball came out of the dark ages, right?
I know it when I see it. That's how I know. I know it when I see it.
Well,
baloney.
Actually, I'm going to ask the kind of a contrarian question here.
Oh, boy.
From when you retired, Dirk, to what the game is today in baseball, has it changed that much?
From when I retired till now, no. I was in the game right when we were really starting to see sabermetrics go to the forefront, right?
Yep.
So we did have guys that come in, and these were kids. You know, they just got into pro ball, of course. You know, now that we're freshly minted professionals, we think we know everything, right? So we're like, why are you making me throw more change-ups? Why are you putting a number on what I'm supposed to do, bro? Just let me be me. You know,
right.
You drafted me to be me. Why do I need to change? And it's because, you know, you had guys that had ran a lot of numbers historically to say that, you know, the game needs this type of player. And if you want to get to the top, you need to start developing skills in this area. And players have always had a difficult time separating how they like to play from numbers that someone who hasn't played has generated. Even if trying to generate more of those numbers that don't feel like they're readily apparent will help you move up faster, and guys get mad about that. I think today's players understand the real application value of it because they've been around it, they've been exposed to it. But early on, it was really tough for some of them to deal with. And some of them lost their career because they couldn't make the adjustment. They just couldn't see how it fit. And to be fair, gentlemen, baseball, I mean, the Dodgers, for example, have taken a lot of players, put them into developmental camps so they understand how baseball analytics work, and then given them teaching tools, which is something baseball doesn't do well, right? The only thing you need to do to be a baseball coach is have played baseball before, right? That's
yeah.
It. There's no teaching agenda. There's no public speaking classes. There's no leadership training, nothing. It's just, oh, you're good at baseball? Oh, you'll be a good coach. Completely different animal. And you can't just take new age analytics and shove it down the throat of a player. That was missing the point. And now there's a lot of teams out there that have bridged this gap. They're doing full 360 training to make good leaders out of baseball players and business people to bridge that gap so they can meet that argument right at the forefront, which is, you know, I understand that you're worried that we're betraying the religion of the game you so believe in, but the truth is we're just trying to make the game better. And the sooner you buy into that, the better your health will be, the more money you'll make, and the better the club will be.
Yeah, it's like when was it Galileo who said, hey, the earth revolves around the sun. Oh, let's take him out and burn him and put him on trial. But it's just the way it is, and everybody will catch up eventually because the truth is the truth is the truth. Dirk, thanks so much for being with us on TSN 1050 once again.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen, anytime.
I love talking to Dirk, the Baseball Insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW and Trafalgar Road in Oakville. And Noodles, it's a conversation I have on SportsCenter in the newsroom. Well, let's bunt a guy over to second base. You can look at the numbers for every season going back for a long time, and having a guy on first base with none out, you're going to score more runs than you will with a guy on second base and one out. So why would you ever bunt a guy over again? It was in Moneyball. Bunting, you throw it to first, you take the out because they're losing in the long run. The numbers show you're more likely to score a run on any one individual occasion, but in the long run, it's a losing play. This is the numbers. And for some reason, people with the baseball eye don't see that it doesn't work as often as it works.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Or whichever way I meant to say that.
I know what you're saying, but you know, I guess from an old school perspective, what happens sometimes is they'll say, you know, well, over time it's going to average out, but is it going to work on that night where you're trying to win?
Which is just luck,
right? And I was actually, I've been reading something today about, you know, how analytics people believe in luck, but they also believe luck is generated by, you know, certain plays.
Yeah.
So they're trying to quantify luck as well. So that, I guess that's my point is, you know, when you talk about every time I've ever had a conversation with analytics people, and I talked to quite a few, I'm friendly with them. I've said this before. I respect it, but I believe it's a piece of the pie. It's not the whole pie.
Absolutely.
And I will, you know, to my grave believe that. But, you know, I'll say, well, you know, that doesn't help me in game, you know, I bring it back to hockey, second period, this, you know, the average is if you're a face-off in the neutral zone and you're going to use this player and that, well, averages suggest that this should happen. But I'm right. saying, well, in that situational, maybe it doesn't because – you know, as a coach, you're saying this guy's playing very well or he's winning and battles to his backhand, that type of stuff.
That's where the feel of an experienced coach comes in.
Right.
That coach should know this guy is 60% on offensive draws. This guy is 45% on right. offensive draws. Do I have a reason to counteract those numbers? Yes. Okay. I'm right. a coach. I'm going with it. If it's neutral, go with the 60% guy.
Right. If it's a wash, but that's the challenge is nothing's a wash in how quickly things happen
yes.
within a game. And you're judging, you know, that was the challenge I always had is there's a guy on the bench, he should be out there, but you don't realize that he got caught out on his last shift, too long of a shift.
Yep.
He's tired. He's got a broken lace. You got to put somebody else out. Like, there's a lot of moving parts. That's why good coaches get paid lots of money.
Exactly. We need good coaches, and we need good information yeah. as well. 6:37, it's Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2. Brian Burke, live presser, talking about the Dennis Weidman decision coming up at 6:45. I can be a nerd if I want to be. Take that, Goose. 6:43, it's Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2. Brian Burke's press conference, the Flames president of hockey operations, discussing the Weidman decision. NHLPA's Matthew Schneider suggesting Burke will not be too happy with this. We will have it for you. If it comes up before the end of Overdrive, we'll go to it live. It's also available across the TSN network as SportsCenter is going to duck in and hear from Brian Burke. Do you think he'll be in epic Burke form?
He should be.
Mild Burke form?
He should be pissed off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this process took too long, and he lost a 3 or 4 defenseman, however you view him, for 9 extra games. And regardless if the Flames are going to make it or not, that's something that the organization can't be happy about the whole process.
Well, and they now have to pay for those 9 games they didn't get from a player. It's yeah. it's essentially like Weidman was injured to them. They mm-hmm. the Flames get it very bad. The NHL comes out, I think, okay. The officials probably come out pretty good in this. They probably feel like we were respected by the NHL.
Well, and they were respected. Let's not forget Donnie Henderson did nothing wrong, but you know, get hit.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that can't be lost in all of this. But you know, the process is the thing that should be under the microscope here that needs to be adjusted.
How does Dennis Weidman come out in this in your mind? Because he gets wronged, but he did wrong to some extent.
He did. I mean, he paid the price that most people thought he should have paid anyways. So he gets a little money back. You know, it sucks because he got a concussion and he got a 19-game suspension. Now he gets 9 games back on his record, gets a little bit of money back. But, you know, he wronged. He wronged the referee. He's paid a price. And you know, I think this whole process hasn't been as smooth as you'd want it to be. And maybe it's a good learning curve for the organization of the NHL
yeah.
to have a better process. Because I'm going to say next time around, because there's always going to be something that comes up. You hope it's not as egregious as what happened to Donnie Henderson and you know, Weidman, but I think bigger picture, it's going to happen again, so they've got to be more prepared or better prepared.
Yeah, I'm very curious. And Ray Ferraro, when he had him on in the 5 o'clock hour, suggested that there's going to be potentially some guys could take some latitude. If they take a stiff hit, do they have 8 seconds, you know, while they go back to the bench that they
exactly.
can get away with anything? And how's the NHL going to control that? So Dennis Weidman, he gets to return tonight. Tonight would have been the 20th game of his 20-game suspension. But it's only a 10-game suspension based on the dollars, but he missed 19 games. And in that time, the Flames went from contending-ish to now forget it.
Yeah.
That it's just, that's all it's going to be. He is the Flames president of hockey operations, Brian Burke on TSN 1050.
Thank you for assembling on short notice. We always expect you folks to drop everything. And we're grateful for that. Before I address Dennis's situation, I want to mention Donnie Henderson. We have finally reached a conclusion in this process, but Donnie Henderson is still unable to perform, and we wish him a speedy recovery. I especially want to thank, before I start, to our training staff and our medical staff. I believe they acted properly at all times and in all respects through this process. Today, we got a result from the neutral discipline arbitrator from the National Hockey League, reducing Dennis Wiedemann's suspension to 10 games. This is the first time that this process has been invoked, and we respect the process. However, we hope that the process gets expedited for the next player that goes through this. With regard to the arbitrator's decision, we are grateful that the finding was made that the contact was not made with any intent to injure the official involved. We believe that's the case. We also fully support sanctions against players who make deliberate contact with officials. Our goal is to put this all behind us now. I consider the matter closed. I'll take a few questions, and then I'm not going to comment on it after today.
Brian, were you, as the Flames really had no role in this, were you satisfied with the defense or the work of the NHLPA on behalf of Dennis Wiedemann through this process?
I did not sit in, so I wouldn't comment on that.
Brian, are you concerned at all that he wasn't removed from the game now in light that it's found that he had a concussion, or is that just
No, it's not fall through the cracks at all. I resent that. A player can exhibit concussion symptoms after a game, and our protocol was followed to the letter. The trainer spoke to him, felt he was lucid, felt he was cogent in his remarks, and he stayed in the game and finished the game without any difficulty. After the game, he complained of symptoms, was given a test, and registered concussion symptoms, but nothing fell through the cracks.
What are your thoughts on the length of the process?
Well, it has to be expedited for the next player that goes through this. But this is the first time through. It'd be, you know, I went on a bit of a rant when the commissioner ruled on this about the delay. But I, having gone through it now, I think you have to respect the fact this is uncharted waters for everybody. And it was a new process. It's the first time the neutral discipline arbitrator has been involved. And so to throw rocks at anyone about the length of time it took, I think is counterproductive. I do think they need to speedline this or streamline this for the next player that goes through this.
Moving forward, should players be able to play when a suspension is under appeal?
No, they've never been able to play when there's an appeal pending. In our sport, that's never been permitted.
Brian, it would appear throughout the course of this process, your organization was in some ways victimized in terms of time, commitment to the projects you had to do rather than things like trade deadline. As an organization, how have you coped with it as a group, you and Brad and everyone else?
Well, first off, like I say, it's first time through. So I think it's real easy to say this should have been done in 2 weeks or in 10 days or whatever. It's first time through. So we're not going to find fault with that. It means we were without the use of the player for 8 games additional or whatever the number is. It means that Brad Treliving had to attend a couple of hearings around trade deadline. That the league doesn't choose when these events occur. So this is something we all wish had never happened. And the league dealt with it, and the NHLPA dealt with it in the most timely manner they could, given the fact it's first time through. Now, I think it's time for some retrospection on is there a better way to do it, a quicker way to do it, but certainly we're not going to whine about that today.
Are you going to seek any sort of compensation, or is that even possible?
No. No.
Brian, how does this, with him playing tonight, how does that affect the emergency recall for Tyler Watherspoon?
Tyler Watherspoon will not dress. The league has given us a day to address or adjust our roster, and Tyler Watherspoon will not dress, and we'll adjust our roster tomorrow.
Flames President of Hockey Operations, Brian Burke, talking live about the Dennis Wiedemann suspension that became a lesser suspension but was really a much bigger suspension, says he wants to see it expedited for the next player. Says and defended his trainers very strongly because we weren't able to get to that before Berkey came up. But that's another angle to this whole thing. Should Wiedemann have been playing? He played the rest of the game after he gored the official.
The protocol, and you know he felt that they're saying and Berkey's backing that up and saying the protocol was covered to the letter of the law, and he presented symptoms afterwards. You know, it is the case, and it can be the case. But, you know, I think it's – I liked his comments. He didn't come out spitting nails. I mean, he could easily say, well, this is – you know, it took too long and that. He's saying, you know, in retrospect here, you know, it's – we could throw stones everywhere. But he said, you know, this is a learning process for everyone. They're not going to get the games back. I mean, Wiedemann's going to get some money back in that. But, You hope that everyone learns. The league learns, the process, the arbitrators, everyone learns through this process for the next time that it's expedited and they don't have to go, you know, a guy doesn't have to wait 20 games or 19 games to get some games back.
I was surprised he so quickly dismissed playing under appeal, said that's never been a part of our game. Well, it's not going to be. It's a part of other games.
He was a part of the league, and I think he firmly believes that. It was probably a guy that helped put that policy in place. And it's, like he said, it's never been the case. The problem that I see, when you appeal, not a big deal. If you appeal and you get an answer in 2 days, that's, you know, you're fine with it.
Yeah.
But you appeal and it's 2 weeks or two plus weeks afterwards, that's an issue, because that's where you wanted him to play, and because if he was going to get those games back anyways, that's where he's left him on the table.
Yeah, Burke, in a good mood, he was conciliatory, he was acceptable, he was much less grumpy
than you thought he was going to be.
I thought he might take some shots, but he said it's the first time we've been through it. He was way nicer than Goose Gossage, because Goose has been ripping it up on Overdrive today.
And now a message from Goose Gossage.
Nicknames today are a f***ing disgrace. Joey Bats, who the hell can remember two names? Stick with Puck, or Sparky, or Catfish, or Rhino. That Ryan Sandberg, he'd phantom tag you right in the nuts if you didn't slide right at second. That's baseball, not this pussy s*** they play today.
This has been a message from Goose Gossage.
The Goose.
The phantom tag.
Right in the nut. Oh, Ryan Sandberg. It has been a very entertaining week. Brian Hayes will be back in this chair on Monday. Noodles, thanks so much for having me.
And you were awesome. Enjoyed the whole week. I know I was only here a couple days because I did some color, but O-Dog and everyone was pretty fired up that we had some chemistry working this week.
I was great for you guys to invite me in. You got a great show here, and can't wait to hear Hayes back in his chair on Monday. It is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and TSN 2.